Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sleep Apnea Pathfinders, a weekly podcast for patients, their families, and healthcare providers to share their stories of success and challenges. We are passionate about sleep apnea and its impact on our overall health. Please join your hosts, David and Juanita, as they share their passion on all things sleep apnea.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Sleep Apnea Pathfinders, where we welcome all of those regardless of the path you are on. My name is Juanita.
And I'm David.
And today we're going to talk about home sleep studies and in-lab sleep studies from a patient's and a sleep tech's perspective. After reviewing our raw recording, we decided to break this episode into two parts. You're about to listen to part A, and please listen to part B for more helpful information about sleep studies.
So Juanita, we are approaching this from two different perspectives. As you just said, I've had about 4 sleep studies and 2 home sleep studies, and there's lots of questions that patients have about sleep studies, and there's YouTube videos out there. There's pamphlets that maybe sleep centers give out or pass out. And there may be still some questions out there. So I've got some questions for you, and think this episode will be me really interviewing you. And I think there's some really good patient tips in this episode that people can take advantage of and, you know, problem solve and maybe get some more questions answered that will be helpful to them throughout the process of a sleep study. So let's get started.
Yeah, let's discuss the differences and let's do that.
So Juanita, tell us about an in-lab study and a home sleep study.
Yeah, sure. So an in-lab study, it's a comprehensive test that we use to diagnose sleep disorders. During the study, there are multiple sensors in place, so we can record brain waves, eye, chin, and leg movements. We can record breathing, heart rate, rhythm, oxygen levels. And a home sleep study unit would be when a patient picks up equipment from the lab and is given instructions to take it home so they can sleep in their own environment.
So, does a home sleep study have less information than an in-lab study?
We like home sleep studies for when we're looking for sleep apnea. So there are less sensors involved, but there aren't brain waves, but we are going to monitor possibly heart rate, rhythm, oxygen levels, and breathing, which are all the signals we need to diagnose sleep apnea.
So who decides if a patient gets a home sleep study or an in-lab study?
That would be a provider decision and possibly an insurance company decision.
So you're saying that the sleep physician has input as to which one a patient may get, but the insurance company also has input potentially as to which study a patient may get.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So does a home sleep study come back faster? Do those results come back faster than an in-lab study?
I guess it would depend on the process of the lab and the exact type of home unit that was given to the patient. There are home units that are just completed for one night, and then there are home units where a patient can wear for multiple nights. And I guess that could delay, if they had to mail it back, that could delay the results. But I think it kind of boils down to the process of the facility itself.
Okay. So are there patients who are really good candidates for an in-lab study?
Yes, sure. If we suspect there's another sleep disorder taking place, that would be ideal because we'll need the brain waves. Also, if we know that sleep apnea is taking place and it can appear to be complex, they would be the better candidate as well for an in-lab study.
So just to clarify for our listeners, complex sleep apnea is defined as what?
complex sleep apnea is defined as if someone is presenting with not only obstructive sleep apnea, but maybe central sleep apnea or mixed sleep apnea. And that's when the breath starts off as a central and ends up as an obstruction. So those people would be the better candidates for NLAB.
So just thinking back over our past episodes, I'm not sure if we've really touched on central sleep apnea. Can you, for our listeners' benefit, just talk very briefly about central sleep apnea?
Oh, sure. So during we call it central sleep apnea because there's a part of the brain. It just won't send the signal for the patient to initiate a breath. So that's when it becomes connected to neurology.
Okay, thank you. And so an in-lab study is really best suited to help a sleep physician differentiate between certain sleep disorders. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. And in the in-lab, it would be beneficial depending when the therapy is applied, and that would be like CPAP therapy, BiPAP, or ASV.
Okay. So I know our podcast really is about sleep apnea, but what are the other sleep disorders that can be diagnosed with a sleep study?
That could be narcolepsy. That could also be like a REM behavior disorder, which means when we enter this sleep stage called REM, we start having body movements where we shouldn't. So we would definitely need the brain waves for those.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. So you can, it's just you and me on this podcast now. So I'm going to ask you a question. Why can't the sleep techs just give us our results?
Ah, that's a great question. Well, that would come down to our medical license and everything that we collect, the medical director has to review and ultimately have the final say to give the results. However, if anyone has an in-lab study and at any point through the night, a sleep tech enters the room and says something like, I have enough information to start CPAP. Would you like to try? They're telling you have sleep apnea without telling you have sleep apnea. We can't give it to you for any other reason.
Okay. So from my experience, what I've read and what I've talked about with other patients is that if their oxygen level has gone down to a certain percentage, then the sleep center is required to implement CPAP that evening. Is that something that you've experienced?
Yeah, if the oxygen saturation is critically low, we can always intervene by giving the patient oxygen depending on the facility's protocols. Now, in order for CPAP to be initiated, that would depend on the apnea hypopnea index. So we look at those numbers, and then we base that on how many hours of record time we've already collected at a certain hour through the night.
Okay. So what I hear you saying is that if there's still enough time left during the testing period and the protocol allows it, then a CPAP may be trialed for someone.
Yeah, we can initiate CPAP for sure. And then that would be called a split night study. So the first half of the study would be a baseline PSG, that stands for polysomnography. And then the second half of the study would be the titration. And that could be for CPAP, possibly BiPAP.
Okay. So just for our listeners' understanding, when you say titration, what does that term mean?
Oh, that means that we're going to adjust a pressure level to meet the patient's needs to eliminate the sleep apnea. Okay. So if anyone has experience with any kind of PAP therapy, they know there's a mask involved and they feel a flow come out of the mask. Well, all of that's measured and we can increase or decrease depending on someone's needs.
Okay. So we want all of our listeners to know that this may vary from center to center. So this is not something that you may see across all centers, and it's definitely up to the sleep technician's discretion and the center's protocols. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. So another question, why is a home sleep study just as good as an in-lab study?
Oh, that's a great question. So when we're looking, when we suspect sleep apnea, with the sensors that we have involved, we're monitoring the breathing, and that would be an airflow sensor placed in the nose. We're monitoring, we have two belts in place, one for the thoracic belt, one for the abdomen belt. And we have a pulse oximeter on a probe on someone's fingers. And with the connection of, with all of those sensors in place, when it's downloaded, we can tell if someone has sleep apnea or not, whether it's hypopneas, obstructions, or centrals. And that data is enough for a diagnosis.
So can we remind our listeners what hypopneas are and what apneas are?
Oh, sure. So hypopneas are low breathing, very shallow breathing that ends with an oxygen desaturation, which means the oxygen in the blood, the percentage drops. Apnea means without breath. So there is absolutely no airflow, and that also ends with oxygen desaturation as well.
Okay, thank you for defining that.
So this is a lot of information, and we decided to break it down into two episodes to allow you to absorb the information. So to kind of recap, part A of episode 8, we spoke about the differences between an in-lab sleep study and a home sleep study. We talked about what is measured in the sleep studies, and we talked about how the insurance companies possibly decide which sleep study is approved. So in part B, some of the things we discuss is why the camera is in the room and why you have all those dreaded wires for your in-lab study. And as a public service announcement, just so you know, your sleep tech appreciates when you wear comfortable and appropriate clothing during your study. So stick around and listen to part B of episode 8. Thanks.
Thank you.
This has been an episode of Sleep Apnea Pathfinders. Thanks for joining us, and don't forget to subscribe. Join us again next week for a new episode.